I don't know. I think the problem with being a Jektile is that
you live for destruction.
Yeah, this is the only thing you do is destroy things.
Scotch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 130 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I guess I make robots and stuff.
And this is a show where we talk about life, business, and working in the games industry. And today is December 21, 2017. Before we get started, we have a warning. Anything could happen on this show. There's going to be profanity, so children should not be listening. Now, Sam is gone this week. Normally, we have a third human here.
Yep.
He has acquired something called the flu.
Yep.
Which apparently you are contagious for up to 7 days.
Yeah. So he's not allowed in the office right now.
Yeah. We just sort of banned him, sort of banished him into his own home. But we learned lots of stuff because we were like, how contagious is this? So we did some
pretty contagious
Googling. Yeah. Apparently when you have the flu, you're just sort of constantly blasting, a fine mist of disease around yourself in like a 6-foot sphere.
Yeah.
And then everything that touches your disease ball is infectious for 48 hours.
And then you just, everybody becomes a disease ball.
Yeah. So if you imagine everybody kind of walking around in sort of like a hamster ball
of disease,
that's kind of what the flu is like. So that's happening.
Get your flu shots and hope for the best. Apparently it wasn't super effective this year. Sort of like a Pokemon problem.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, we had the wrong type. We got sort of a rock type flu shot this year, but it turned out that the flu was electric.
It wasn't a great combo.
Didn't pan out. It's only about 10% effective this year or something like that. But still, if you get your flu shot, there's a good chance that your symptoms will be reduced even if you do catch the flu. So still do it.
And a better chance that you don't get the flu, which is a bonus.
Yes.
And the biggest bonus of all is you've minimized the chance of giving the flu to somebody else and killing them.
Yes, that's a good
bonus.
Not having murder on your conscience is a fantastic.
Yeah, because the fact is, Sam got the flu from somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else.
A murderer.
Currently an attempted murderer.
We'll
see how things go.
Yeah. And also, this is our last podcast of the year. We're recording a little bit early because we're all going to be gone next week over the winter break week.
Winter ween.
So we wanted to talk about sort of what's going to be coming down the pipe for next year. Although first, we have a couple quick announcements of things that have just happened, which is one, Crashlands is on Linux now.
Yeah. As of a few days, yesterday, 2 days ago?
Yeah. So I think there's that one person who listens to our podcast who uses Linux.
Yeah.
So, hey, buddy, go get your copy now.
Hey, Linux friend.
So we have that. And then also, Crashlands is now available in Chinese on iOS, GOG, and Steam. We've now gotten the rights to use that translation, and we are good to go. So for our four Chinese listeners of the podcast, go get yourself a copy.
Yep.
We're really serving those niches.
Yeah, and if anybody who just wants to see what Crashlands looks like in Chinese, you'll be able to toggle the language.
Yeah, you just flip it over. But
it might be hard to flip it back.
It's going to be hard to flip it back unless you keep track of what the settings are.
Yep.
Because turns out you can't just sort of intuit your way through reading Chinese.
Yeah.
Kind of like you can with Spanish, you know.
Right.
So next year we have, it's going to be 2018.
Yeah.
Or 2018. Because it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Here's what's coming. All right. And also I want to preface our next year's plans discussion with just saying these are targets, not promises.
So, well, and they're also moving targets.
We don't know what's going to happen next year, but this year we've done a lot of infrastructure work and a lot of prep and stuff to get ourselves into a really good position to be able to move super fast next year and do all kinds of badass things. So here are some of the goals that we have for next year. First thing is new website.
Yep.
Our website front end is currently in WordPress.
Yep.
Which,
it is. WordPress, I mean, they proudly boast that WordPress powers some ungodly fraction of the internet, which is true. And it does that for a good reason, which is that they've been around for a long time, which always helps. But also, it can do just about anything you'd want. But the problem with anything that can do anything that you want...
There's a lot of wastage.
There's a lot of wastage going on. And so just being able to run this website is actually kind of surprisingly costly. And not in a way where, like, we can't afford it and we're going bankrupt or anything like that. It's just, it's too slow. It requires a lot of resources just to make it not be slow.
And it's very inflexible and rigid. Very,
right. I mean, it has things about it that are flexible, but it's not stuff that we get to just do what we want. It's more that if there's something that exists that somebody else has already thought to do for us, then we can go do that thing. But if we want to, say, integrate it with our own login system, that's kind of a nightmare. Yep. If we want to make it so that we can land on a custom page that actually isn't in WordPress at all. Turns out that's also kind of a nightmare.
Yep.
So we've just got a couple options here. One was to say, you know, let's just make a new website that's kind of has different stuff on it, leave the current one intact, and have it just kind of be what it was, right? It's just kind of a place where you can go read about the studio.
But then that's confusing.
Confusing. And in fact, we already have stuff kind of just spread across the entire web because we got our forums in one place, we got our website in another place, we got crashlands.net kind of off floating around sitting by itself. We now have scufflebuddies.com, right? Just things are everywhere.
It's just getting out of control.
It's just out of control. And so the goal is to bring everything back to one place. And in the past, you know, we're a bootstrap studio. We did things that made sense at the time that we did them because there was no better way. And that included, we didn't even know why we had a website. We're just like, people have these.
People have these, right?
Right. And we went with the free thing. Back when we did this was Blogger. Almost 6 years ago now, right? That was basically Blogger and WordPress were the options. And so just happened to be Blogger at the time. We eventually migrated to WordPress.
Because we had Google accounts.
Yeah, exactly. So. Right? So you just go with what you know, and again, go with what's free because we were bootstrapping. But that meant that informed what we used the website for. It was basically just used as kind of a blog. And at that time too, we were doing this really kind of frequent open development kind of a model where we'd be talking about what we're doing. We didn't really know how to think about marketing. We didn't have a player base yet. Nobody in the industry gave a shit about what we were talking about either because we hadn't proven anything, right? Yep. So we just kind of had this thing that we just kind of talked on. And over time, it's become, as we've actually had more success, but also found more things that we're doing, like the podcast, multiple games, development versus business development and so on. It just doesn't make any sense to have that all be in one place in a blog anymore.
Yeah. So we're gonna just streamline the shit out of this thing.
Bring it all into one place and then... That's all going to be now powered by Ruckus.
Yes, which is our new B-Scotch ID. It's our
B-Scotch ID replacement.
Yeah. So we'll our hope is to have this ready by end of January.
Yeah.
But again, who these knows? Are targets.
Yeah, the target.
So another target we have is that we a couple episodes ago we talked about the problem of it's been quite a while since we've launched something. Yeah. A new game specifically. We've launched Crashlands in China and done content patches and stuff, but
yep.
something fully new. And so we were like, Scuffle Buddies is still a long ways off, probably at least a year of dev.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want it to be the case that by the time Scuffle Buddies launches, that it'll be, you know, 3.5 years since Crashlands launched and nothing in between. So we're going to be wrapping up Scuffle Buddies to get into a good point where we can kind of pause it.
Yeah. Not wrapping up to finish it, but
right. We're going to be sort of tying up loose ends so that we can easily pick it up again. And we're going to
sort of cauterizing.
Yeah. Wounds. Cauterize it's bleeding. Yeah. And then we're going to develop a much smaller game in terms of how much dev time it takes, not necessarily in terms of how much you can play it.
Yeah. Yeah. When we say it, I think this confused some of our listeners when we talked about it. Because we kind of asked people to give us opinions about, is this a good idea? You know, would you rather wait less time to get Scuffle Buddies or get some stuff in the interim that's just not as large in scope? And I think people kind of interpreted this as basically us making another like Roid Rage or something, right?
Yeah.
Something that actually feels very small. But it's actually not what we mean.
Yeah, because Roid Rage we can make Roid Rage was a 26-hour project, right?
Yeah.
So like, we're not talking about that small.
And that wouldn't really delay anything in any important way, right?
Yeah. We're talking more along the lines of, so Quadrupus and Talifite were both 3-month projects.
Yep.
And that was back, you know, before we had any systems to do things quickly. So we're talking definitely larger than Roid Rage
Yes.
And probably smaller than Quadrupus or Talphite in terms of dev time. But we're going to be trying to do some experiments with our new web stuff and see if we can put some cool sort of user-generated content features into these kinds of things. So, so we're going to be having more announcements sort of early in the year, next year, about what exactly this project is going to be and what our timelines are.
Yeah, because we think we know what we want it to be.
Yeah.
We're pretty confident we've kind of got that figured out, but we definitely don't want to say it.
We don't want to say it, because once we say it,
it kind of locks that in.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's something that it would be much more fun to sort of drop onto people once enough progress has been made that we can show something. Because I think that was the thing that happened with Scuffle Buddies, where we didn't really have anything to show, but we were trying to like drop, get people excited about it. And I think it'll be a lot
people
more
fun.
People
can't get excited about it, nothing.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot more fun if we basically just have a prototype of the thing running. We've got a video of us playing it or, you know, something. And then just have that kind of suddenly appear like in end of January.
Yeah. So basically today, the day that we're recording is a Thursday. It's our last day of the year before the break. And so this is sort of our last Scuffle Buddies day. Then we'll put it on pause and we're going to switch over to working on this new project for a couple months. So we'll have some news.
Who knows? But should we say what the goal is for the timeline on that?
In terms of how long the game will take.
Yeah. When we want it out.
Yeah. I mean, we want it out by GDC, which is mid March,
yep.
Which means we have to have basically wrapped up development by end of February.
Yeah. So, we have to have wrapped up development of Core Ruckus. The new website has to be live because Ruckus lives on it. And we'll have to have this new game made, beta tested, fixed, announced with enough time to do all the press stuff to then have it launched by the middle of March.
Yeah. But this is also an opportunity for us to experiment with, what can we get away with, you know, in terms of our marketing? Yep. Because
and our dev.
Yeah.
Because we haven't actually, this is something that we had to do in the past all the time with all of our previous games that are now live and launched and exist. It was mostly, what can we get away with? What can we not do to make this work?
Yeah.
And ever since we've sort of skilled up, we've, you know, increased the size of our studio. We have way more resources. We have way more tools at our disposal, which makes us want to go use all of those. But actually, more importantly, it doesn't. What it actually does is makes us want to make more of those and use those instead. And we were joking about this because this new game we're talking about making at the beginning of the year, every time we talk about it and talk about the web features we want, there's new web features that we want, right?
Right.
And I've already built some core features that would let us do basically any of the kinds of things that we really need to do. But of course, the fact that we can do that gives us ideas for all the other stuff we could also do.
Yeah, it's the blurs of tools, which is they make things easy enough that they give you ideas for new things to do, and then you want to do those things.
Yeah,
instead.
You sort of forget about the fact that it's hard to make the tools because you're so excited about how much easier your life is now that the tools exist.
Right. We actually found this when we switched to we tried to use Spine to make the bosses in Crashlands, and the Baconweed Fairy turned out was our first boss that we made.
Oh, I forgot about
that. We started using Spine, and then the Baconweed Fairy, the Spine version of it, got broken up into like 18 different body parts.
Yep.
Just because of the fact that, like, once you can do this crazy bone animation, then
she was animated pretty spectacularly, though.
And then your standards go up for, like, well, what does it mean for a thing to look good with its animations? And then you don't end up saving time. You end up oftentimes spending more time. And you're gonna come out with an end result that's gonna be sort of marginally improved over what you had, but it's gonna take way longer and a lot more effort. So,
and also consume way more computer resources.
Yeah. So you got to be aware of the blurs of tools. Yeah. So that's something we'll have to watch out for. Another thing next year that we want to do is we've sort of dabbled, we've dipped our toe into the idea over the past year of something called the B-Scotch Arcade, and this is basically us looking at all of our old games and saying, okay, by the end of next year, it will have been 5 years since Talphite and Quadrupus came out. And it's 4 years.
Long time.
Yeah, and about 4 years since Flop Rocket and Roid Rage, which means, especially in sort of modern technological pace of smartphone improvements and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, these games are showing their age.
And even Crashlands is showing its age, and it's only a couple years old.
Yeah. Crashlands was built at like a 540p resolution, you know, which was actually just what phones were around the time we started developing Crashlands. By the time we finished it, it was already like, okay, this is getting a little bit pixelated.
Yeah.
a few years later, it's going to be even worse, right?
Well, and so, actually, we've been talking about this too, because we're which might be in the news somewhere, but we're working on a content patch for Crashlands.
Yes.
And one of the things that has been a repeated complaint is how slow Flux feels as a character in the game. And actually, which honestly bugged me the whole time I was playing it too. Like, she just feels really slow.
Yeah.
But that's because of this problem. It's this legacy problem, right? Which is the game was made to exist on smaller screens.
So when we blow this viewport up.
Yeah, because we want to have it still look good, which means basically just let you see more of the game, not up-res all the things that are in it. So everything is still the same size as it was. Yeah. We just show you more stuff.
It's kind of the effect where when you're in an airplane and you're seeing a lot of the world at a time, and yeah, you're moving 500 miles an hour, but if you look
certainly
down,
doesn't look like
it doesn't feel like you're moving that fast.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the it's the airplane problem. Because yeah, when we up-res Crashlands, it's almost like we just took your airplane that you're looking at Flux with, and we just moved it up higher, right? So our old games are kind of in a spot where they could probably use some touch-ups and not only that, but we just don't like the fact that they're free-to-play and laced with ads and microtransactions and other bullshit.
And they don't make enough money for that to be worth it.
Yeah.
For anybody.
For anybody. And then also we have to maintain all those games separately. So yeah. if there's like an iOS update or an Android update that we have to patch, then we have to do 8 updates,
yep.
right? Because we have 4 games out and each game is on 2 platforms. And
I'm pretty sure it's a net loss.
Because
they're all, actually not all, Quadrupus is still bringing in a very small amount of money every month.
The rest are
bringing in literally nothing, and
like maybe a sandwich,
A sandwich. And so by the time Sure has to spend, you know, a day every like 3 months or whatever,
we're just losing.
We've just lost all the money we made off of it.
So we were looking at all these problems and we're thinking, okay, what can we do to, we want to do right by these games, right? We don't want to abandon them. And we don't want to just like pull them off the store and be like, well, they're done now. And so we are considering the idea of creating a thing called the Beast Scotch Arcade, which is going to be a single premium app that will be, we don't know price wise, but it'll be, you know, comparatively cheap, right?
Yep.
It'll be on mobile and it'll be all of the games rolled together into a single app.
And I also want it to be on Steam, but I'm still fighting that.
Yeah.
We're still making that argument internally. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. So we'll remove all the microtransactions and rebalance the games so that they aren't dependent on that. We will remove all the ads, of course, and they'll be integrated with Ruckus as opposed to old Beastcatch ID, which means they'll actually have kind of their own new set of achievements and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it's the difficulty that we have to figure out is how do we reconcile sort of old stuff, so cross-platform things with Crashlands, and there's a lot of challenges that come into that. And then we are also considering even rolling in a couple even more legacy games.
Yeah.
Specifically, we're considering getting Gerblins into there.
Yeah, Gerblins is still super, and I don't even know how many of our listeners actually are aware that this game exists or have ever even seen it, because you can't get it anymore.
It was the first game that we launched.
Yeah.
It was pre-Butterscotch,
wasn't it? Before we even existed as a company?
We did exist.
Okay.
Yeah. The first game that Butterscotch ever released was Chauncey the Rabbit. But
was this after Chauncey?
This was after Chauncey. Okay. Right. Gerblins we launched in, I believe, like September or something of 2012.
Yeah, I was in the middle of grad school at the time.
Yeah, Adam programmed it actually with me sort of pair programming over his shoulder, and then I did the art and Sam did the voices.
Yeah, it was a very weird, very different combo than usual. And this is the thing too, that because I remember because at that time my programming, because we're all self taught in our various disciplines, right? Right now, I would actually consider myself a pretty good programmer and a pretty good web programmer specifically, but at that time, which was five or six years ago. All of my programming was basically coming from doing analysis, like statistical analysis or some sort of, you know, data driven stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very different kind of thing than either game programming or web programming. And I was quite medium at it. So it's a very different world, right? So I programmed that game and I remember it being very difficult to build the thing, even though it's a very, very, very simple game. And it's funny thinking back on that now, because if we were to sit down and redo Gerblins, because the source code doesn't exist anymore. This was also before we were using source control.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if we put Gerblins into the Beescotch arcade, we would have to just,
it would just be remade, right?
Yeah.
And so, but with so we'd remake
new
it
Beescotch
with
standards.
Yeah. So now it'd be with Sam's art, it would be with Seth's programming, and it would be with interesting web features that, that I then put in, and with sound support by Fat Bard, right?
Right.
So the difference, I think it's going to be,
it's basically going to be Gerblins.
Yeah.
Too.
We should do it because I think it would take us a weekend to make it.
Yeah.
It would be Gerblins too. And I think that it would be fun for those few people who have access to the original Gerblins. Because if you did get it forever ago, you can still get it through Google Play. I don't even know if it works anymore.
I doubt it does.
It probably doesn't even work on modern
phones.
It was
built for Android 4 or Android 3.
Android 3, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really fun just to look at the difference between those two.
Yeah. And we do actually have a YouTube video that shows Gerblins.
Yeah. That's
and true. Also it shows us sort of as
babies.
As babies, you know, five years ago.
It was back when both of us had hair.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of it necessarily, or nothing spectacular,
no,
but there was hair.
It
though.
Existed. So that's something that we are going to be rolling around. And just as an experiment, I have managed to already get Flop Rocket and Roid Rage merged together into one project. And so that's kind of something that's just sizzling on the back burner as like a weekend project and stuff like that. So we'll see if this thing happens.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun, I mean, the goal next year is we've now gone, as I said, basically 2 years without a launch. Next year, we want to get out some more. We just need some more games out there that exist, even if it is basically dramatically improving and kind of repackaging our arcade as a subset of that, just so that things are now touched up and they feel modern and we can give people something. While we continue the slower development course on this much more systems heavy big project of Scuffle Buddies.
And then otherwise, so that's kind of what will be happening with the older games. We'll have some new smaller game coming out. And then the next question is Crashlands. What's
going to happen to Crashlands?
So Shure and Sam are deep in the weeds of jamming on a Crashlands content patch right now.
Actually, I want to put this in context too of what we've been talking about for the last couple episodes, which has been all about the fact that we haven't made a new thing, but also the fact that we haven't put out any new content for Crashlands. So Crashlands has basically been unchanged for a year, and so we've been giving absolutely nothing to our players, right?
Yeah, and it feels bad.
And it feels bad. And there are things that we know are common complaints with Crashlands that we want to address. In particular, there's a sense of grindiness, which we've been trying to understand and identify. And so that's kind of what this next patch is all about.
And interestingly, so, you know, people will often say like, oh, the game feels too grindy. So we actually, just to see what happened, we just reduced the grindiness, right? Because like grindiness is basically saying like, I'm spending a lot of time getting a bunch of materials.
Yeah. Right? Doing things that feel like a chore.
So we cut down the time a little bit.
A lot.
A lot by the end of the game.
Yep.
And nothing changed in terms of what people were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we realized actually that sort of feeling that players have is stemming not from the fact that they have to spend a lot of time getting materials, but that's the only thing they're doing.
Yeah.
Because players will spend dozens of hours fishing in fishing holes to get the Mega Gong, and they don't complain about the grind of getting the Mega Gong.
They do complain about having not gotten it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
But the reason is that it's a surprise, right? So like you just keep fishing, then suddenly one time you'll just have it, right?
Yep.
So we realized that we need to kind of rethink our approach with some of the recipes and some of the systems in the game to add more surprises into the just general sort of world exploration.
Well, yeah, it's both surprise and the ability to feel like you're making a conscious decision, because that's the other part of the game that we all knew was a problem, which is that the progression is all quite linear.
Yeah.
And so there's not a lot of choice to be made. And because of how limited some of the systems are in terms of, you know, how you prepare for combat and like your hotbar and all this stuff, it doesn't actually, even though we actually give you plenty of stuff to choose from, it doesn't really feel like you have a choice still.
Yeah. And so we won't talk about exact specifics of what the patch will contain.
But the goal is to try to fix.
The goal is to fix that. And so I'll just say kind of we are looking at what we can do with how weapons feel. And trying to make more meaningful player choice when it comes to like, what weapon are you using? You're using a hammer, an axe, or a sword, and why? We're taking a hard repass on the trinkets and the gadgets and the hotbar and trying to figure out ways we can modify these things to make it so that you can make bigger decisions about what kind of a play style you want to have.
Yeah, and have that be more meaningful, because right now, even if you do sort of go, you know, towards fire or damage reflect or whatever, it doesn't really feel like there's that big of a difference between those.
Yeah. And the other problem there is, of course, if you go really heavy into, say, damage reflect, and then you come across an opponent that for some reason doesn't work well with, well, that's just what you got now.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So you're just kind of stuck in whatever you have to lie in whatever bed you made, you know? So we want to give more player options there. So we'll be having some more information about that early next year. So those are kind of some of the big things that we have coming down the pipe ourselves. But yep. I think another thing we need to do, so for this last episode of the year, is let's have some wild speculation about...
Yeah, this is the responsible thing to
do. This is the responsible thing to do. You know, we kind of think of ourselves as sort of a news organization.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
And like any responsible news organization...
It's time to just make ridiculous claims about what's going to happen based on essentially no information whatsoever.
Right. As if it were possible to predict the future in any way, shape, or form, or... as if it was ever possible that could happen.
Yeah.
Because we know, because of confirmation bias, that no matter how many wrong guesses we make...
If we make one right one...
If we make one right one, then we will be seen as sages.
We're going to seem like Nostradamus.
Yep.
Biscotch-stradamus, as Sam says. So here are some of the things that are definitely going to happen next year. All right. So first, you know the game I Can't Believe It's Not Gambling.
Yeah.
Doing great on Steam. Obviously, this is going to embolden Electronic Arts, and they're going to launch Star Wars Battlefront 3 next year, probably in June or so. Mm-hmm. Star Wars Battlefront 3 is going to be simply a black screen with a loot box on it, and you're going to wave a lightsaber at the loot box, okay, and just cut it open and get upgrade parts for your lightsaber and upgrade parts for your loot box.
Yep.
And you're just going to confront loot boxes of ever-increasing HP and damage type resistances. And you got to customize your lightsaber to cut open more loot boxes. Obviously, players will claim to hate this and then go out to buy it.
And still spend money anyway. Yeah. Yep.
Which will actually lead to one of EA's best years just on record.
Yep.
So that's going to happen. Phones are now going to become completely circular next year. So,
okay. I mean, I was actually expecting completely ovular.
It's going straight to circle. Apple is going to rebrand the next iPhone. It's going to be the iPhone Puck. It's just going to be a sort of a disc.
Sort of like a Nest thermostat.
Yeah, because they saw how people responded to the fact that they removed buttons, that they removed the corners, and they were like, you know what? Fuck edges. We're just going to go right to circles.
Now, I hate to disagree with your prediction, but I think...
It's not a prediction. This is just...
I mean, sorry.
What's going to happen?
The expected fact, right? But that actually goes against a particular trend, which is the ever increasing aspect ratio, which is why I would predict that it's not that we're going to the corner radius is going to increase,
and the aspect ratio
is also going to increase.
Yeah.
So we're going to have these very wide elliptical.
They're going to be capsule shaped.
Yeah.
So they're going to be really long and skinny.
Yep.
But with only top and bottom edges, or I should say left and right edges. And then just a sort of a circular top and bottom.
Right.
Yeah. That does make sense.
Yes. That's my guess.
So that's going to happen. And then of course your phone, will no longer have buttons of any kind.
Correct.
As well as a keyboard. Everything is going to go off of facial recognition.
Yep.
So you're going to type by simply gazing upon your phone.
And it will try to predict what it is.
It will try to predict your intent sort of based on, your micro expressions.
Yep.
Right. So that's going to happen because, you know, machine learning. Also, next year is going to be the year where virtual reality finally actually becomes a thing.
Yep.
So we saw this in 1995. Sony saw it
2 years ago.
Yeah. So companies were making virtual reality. We had the Virtual Boy in like 1993 or whatever.
Everybody wanted it.
Virtual reality made a big push in the late 90s, and then again in the early 2000s, then in the late 2000s, and then 5 years ago, and now today. But for some reason, next year, it's just going to happen all of a sudden.
Yep.
Everybody's going to have VR in their homes. Yep. Nobody's going to leave their house. Even like your local grocery chain, you know, they're going to create a VR sort of shopping experience
You basically just walk through this fake store with a cart and you put stuff in it. It records what you put in it. They send a real person through their real store to do the same thing, sort of mirroring what you're doing.
Kind of like that movie where I think Hugh Jackman is controlled by a teenage boy and goes on a murdering spree.
I'm not familiar with this movie.
I think it's some video game movie. Was it Hugh Jackman? No, it was the guy who played Leonidas in 300.
Different person. Yep.
Gerard Butler. They're both just completely jacked. So it's, you know,
they are both jacked men. So I can see the confusion.
So that's going to happen. I mean, people are going to be completely baffled by how crazy of a takeoff VR is going to have.
Yep.
And all these people who are sinking and, you know, years and years of time into making games for VR and
stuff. It's all going to be worth it.
They're all going to be like, see, I told you, I knew this was coming.
Yep.
So that's going to happen. Also, wireless charging is going to be everywhere. So, you know how there's those little pads that you put your phone on?
Yeah.
So people are going to be updating the foundations of their homes
just to be those,
to be a big wireless charging pad. And it just, every device you have will be wireless now.
Yeah.
And this is going to have the added benefit of now humans no longer have to sleep because you are also charging from the pad.
Yep.
So that's going to be really nice.
I think also, paired along with that is another convenient breakthrough, which is that batteries are also going to finally be good.
Yeah. Because they're just always being charged is the thing.
Yep.
So
it's really good. The batteries are going to be taken out because you're always in the presence of a charger. So you don't even need a battery in the first place.
The unfortunate downside of this is, of course, once people leave their homes, they're no longer on a pad. And so the solution that most cities are going to have is they're going to create giant charging pads that are going to hover in the sky, kind of like an Independence Day,
right?
That just kind of float above the city and beam power down.
Exactly like an Independence Day.
Yeah. And of course,
there might be some building explosions.
Yeah. But as long as our devices stay charged, who gives a shit?
Yep.
And of course, on top of those pads is going to be Tesla solar panels.
Right.
So we're going to have that. Also next year, augmented reality. It's also going to be a big thing.
Yep.
Reality is going to become so augmented that actually it will cease to be real and it will only be virtual.
Yeah.
Which is actually sort of that's going to be sort of the thing that pushes virtual reality into the next step. It's is that reality sort of will cease to exist.
Right.
So that's going to be cool. AAA studios are going to have some big announcements next year because they're going to be hitting because of just sort of the general progression of GPUs.
Mm-hmm.
Powered by cryptocurrencies.
Right.
We're going to have such ridiculous quantum leaps in simulated dog fur, human sweating.
Yep.
You know, like we're going to be able to render this stuff. It's just going to be unbelievable. So you're going to be playing Battlefront 3, and as you're swinging your lightsaber around, you know, you'll be able to see the hairs on your character's arm just.
Yeah.
Rustling in the breeze. It's going to be so fucking realistic. Yep. So that's going to happen. Blockchain.
Yeah. Blockchain
is going to take over the world.
Yep. Every company that is currently starting to use it is going to be wildly successful.
Yes. Just like with the internet in the 90s. So that's going to happen. And we're also going to have, of course, a new wave of blockchain based video games that use blockchain technology to power their web infrastructure, causing those companies to collapse.
Yep.
So that's going to be fun. And then the last thing that's going to happen is Bennett Foddy's game Getting Over It, where you climb a mountain with a hammer, mm-hmm. is going to inspire a new wave of mobile clones. And that's going to come in January and February, where over 1,000 clones of that game will be flooding Google Play and the App Store.
Now, I'm a little bit confused, though, because I feel like we were poking a little bit of fun about what was going to happen, but that's exactly what is definitely going to happen.
Well, I mean, some of these things are going to happen. some may happen in 2019, but either way. And then otherwise, we have a winter break coming. So now we're back to real news. So we have winter break coming.
Sabbatical coming.
Which only means, as far as our players go, the only thing they have to worry about is, what about the merch store?
True.
It's going to be open. You can still buy shit, but we're not going to ship anything until we get back. So
that shouldn't stop you, though.
Yeah, you should actually probably buy even more stuff this time around with all that Christmas money or whatever kind of money you got lying around.
Milk money.
Winter bonus money.
Any kind of money.
All right. So that's all the news we have for this week.
Actually, there will be another thing that happens, though, which is that things will be on sale all over the place when it comes to games.
Oh, that's
including
true.
Including Crashlands.
Yeah, so take all that.
Because it's the only one you can buy.
Yeah, so buy lots of copies of Crashlands, and then also take the savings you got from all these other games that are on sale. Go to our merch store,
Yep.
And spend all that savings on our merch.
Yep.
All right, let's get on some questions. These questions come from our listeners over at podcast.bscotch.net. So if you'd like to get a question onto a future episode, head on over there, put stuff in the text box, and get hit the submit button.
Yep.
First question, Giant Muskrat says, if you order pickup from a normally sit-down restaurant, should you tip? If yes, how much? Do you know?
This is sort of outside of our wheelhouse in terms of the kinds of stuff that we have knowledge about. But I do have an opinion on it, which is that we've all just agreed in the U.S. anyway. That
to underpay in the food industry.
People everywhere, but particularly in the food industry. And when you're going out, I think there's something that I always had to sort of remember is that if I'm going out to get food from a restaurant, I'm not buying food, right? I'm paying people to make and give me food and like provide that experience and so
right.
on.
That's why it's called the food service industry.
Yeah, right.
It's not just,
it's a service. It's not you. If
it's not a grocery store.
Right. It's not a grocery store. So you have to already, when you're like thinking about the cost of food when you're going out to eat, you just have to already just take into account that you're not just buying food. You're paying for a service. And you also know that restaurant, no matter how good it is competing with all the other restaurants, which again, we've collectively agreed should underpay everybody.
Right.
And so
that's just what we do.
Because that's what we do. So you just guarantee that all those people that are not, they're just not being paid the way that they ought to be. So when it comes to tips, I don't actually treat tips as a way to sort of incentivize good behavior on the part of employees. To me, like that's just
you're
the
just righting a wrong.
Yeah, exactly. You're righting a wrong, right? Because bad employees should just be fired. They shouldn't be paid worse, right?
True.
And good employees should just be paid well, not paid well based on the whims of customers, right?
Right.
So for me, like I just see it as basically the cost of my food is just 20% higher than is listed, right?
Right.
And that's the service charge, right? Which isn't because people are bringing me food. It isn't because my waiter's a good waiter. It's because everybody is being underpaid in the restaurant. And so I just have to factor in that.
That's a good point.
There's just a higher cost to that.
There is a restaurant, I think, in New York City that made the news, maybe it was last year, because they just decided to not allow patrons to tip.
Yep.
And they just also decided to pay their staff appropriately.
Right.
And this made news.
Yeah.
Because people were alarmed. And they also had to teach their patrons, hey, don't tip. It's fine.
Yeah.
Our people are actually paid well and they're doing okay. And of course, apparently the tipping system makes it so that wait staff and cooks and everything, and chefs, they have to fight to get the best nights of the week.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kind of resentment about who works when and whether people are working on slow nights or busy nights. Cause if your income varies widely day by day, then you kind of have this unpredictable turbulence going on. Right.
Yep.
So by evening it out and just paying people the same and just being like, yep, this is when you work, this is, you know, whatever. People are just happier.
Yeah.
And they don't have to stress so much.
Turns out.
And then of course their service improves. Because they aren't as stressed all the fucking time.
And customers don't get to be right even when they're wrong, which to me is always a win.
Right. If a customer's being a dick, you can just be like, leave.
Yeah.
The end. You don't need that tip money.
Nope.
So the question Giant Muskrat says, you know, should you tip? So I think yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you should.
I literally.
Unless you go to that one restaurant where they don't do tips.
Right. Unless you go to that one. I just always put on 20% no matter what's happening.
That just seems,
no matter what,
that seems fair.
Yeah, even if I have an asshole or you know an unobservant wait staff, because again, like who the fuck am I to be like I'm going to punish your livelihood because you were kind of slow to bring me this food,
right?
You know,
I'm at a sit down restaurant anyway. I'm not in a huge rush here.
Like
if I was in a rush, I'd be. You know, throwing a hot pocket.
But I mean, just imagine you being in some other industry, like you just being at your normal job, right? If you make a mistake, like when you're at work, and so say like in the case of the restaurant, basically it's like them bringing you the wrong order or something, right? You're going to penalize the livelihood of that person because they just brought
you
different
food. This is how performance bonuses work, right?
Yeah.
It's you suppress someone's baseline salary,
right?
You're like, if you're good, then
you can have
the rest of your salary. Right? Right. which I don't really like the dynamic that creates between people.
But it's just gross.
And there's also a lot of research about how people are, how people behave toward sort of motivation systems.
Yeah.
And how once you tie a person's performance to some external factor, like a bonus or a tip or whatever, then it actually becomes more difficult for that person to be motivated to do that thing through their own internal volition.
Yeah. Well, actually, I see this especially at places that are heavy, that make a lot of their money on the booze side of things, right? Because I don't buy booze when I go out because the surcharge on that is so fucking enormous already. And then I got to pay my 20% surcharge on top of that. Right. So I don't drink when I'm out, but that's of course where restaurants and therefore their wait staff actually make the most money, right? Because just the cost of your entree is the same as the cost of your fucking drink, right?
Right.
So because of that, then I've actually, there are places that I've been to and places that I really like that I actually don't go to anymore because I could tell that the wait staff were disappointed when I didn't buy drinks.
Yeah.
The only reason that would happen is because their salary, their livelihood is coupled to whether or not I buy drinks.
Yep.
Which is just, that's just a bad experience for everybody, you know?
Now you're going to get drunk. You're going to drive home. You're going to crash.
Yeah.
You're going to kill 35 people.
I'm not going to have any money left.
Yep. The world is ruined now because of this tipping problem. So I don't know. Tipping is stupid, but since this is where we are, we should,
you just have to
support your wait staff.
Yeah.
Just do it.
They're just other people. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes from Darth Binary. If you could be any Jektile from Talfight 2, what would you be?
I have to remember all the Jektiles.
So Talfight 2 had like 45 different Jektiles or something like that.
There are many.
And they range from like chainsaws to praying mantises to there's a Colossus.
There's a Colossus.
That just like flies out, just smashes the shit out of things.
A whale.
There's a sloth.
Mm-hmm.
There's an owl that like body slams things. There's an eagle.
Uh-huh.
There's a goat that explodes into a tin can bomb.
Right.
That makes
total sense.
I would go probably with either the bee or the chainsaw.
Yeah.
My reason being just out of pure utility, right? So the bee in Talfight shoots lasers.
Laser beams
out of its stinger. And I feel like having the ability to summon a sort of laser that can cut through things just at any moment.
Pretty useful.
It means you don't need to carry a pocket knife around anymore.
Yep.
So that's pretty nice. And of course, the same thing applies to the chainsaw.
Chainsaws are a bit messier.
It's a little bit less precise, but it gets the job done.
Also, I think you're three chainsaws.
Yes.
Not just a chainsaw.
Yeah. And of course you...
So you have to be three chainsaws and then you're cutting things. And it can be kind of messy.
And they are flying chainsaws with eyes that whip around rapidly and orbit around some central point.
It's very intimidating.
It's pretty intimidating.
Yeah. Nobody would mess with you.
No.
If you were flying chainsaws.
If you were three flying chainsaws.
Yeah. But I guess also if you were a giant bee that shot lasers, probably also
people wouldn't fuck around with that either.
Yeah.
Or even if you were a giant bee that didn't shoot lasers, I think people would probably go the other direction.
Yeah, or if you're just a giant laser.
Or a giant laser.
Any subset of that combo. I don't know. I think the problem with being a Jektile is that...
You live for destruction.
Yeah, this is the only thing you do is destroy things. And so there's none...
Unless the turtle shell protects you.
That's true.
You know, that's just a...
But then you're just an inanimate object.
Yeah.
That just stuff runs into, which is...
You have to decide, am I going to destroy or am I going to be nothing?
Right. So I guess destroy then is really...
Just destroy things.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. Next question comes from Rampandapus. What do you think about adding nested loot crates to Scuffle Buddies? You could have loot crates inside loot crates inside loot crates. What about recursively nested loot crates? Or it could be loot crates all the way down. Is this monetization genius? I mean, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Probably is. Because I think, as we've seen with I Can't Believe It's Not Gambling, turns out this is a completely viable strategy for a game. So... Thanks for the tip. I think we're just going to go ahead and do that. All right. Next question comes from Potty Gamer. Disgusting.
P-O-T-T?
Yes.
Okay.
Disgusting.
Gross.
How long did it take to decide the quantity of each crafting ingredient for the items in Crashlands? Were there ever any recipes changed for balance reasons after release?
It took zero-ish.
Yeah. So we actually have a talk or a sort of a micro talk on our YouTube channel about this exact thing. which is the quantities of the crafting ingredients are automated, which is awesome because basically we procedurally generate the world. So we tweak numbers to determine how common things are out in the environment. It's a little bit more complicated than that because the environment changes as you go out.
Right. But we kind of decided what we wanted the environment to look like.
Yeah.
So that was where we decided like where we wanted the tiles to be distributed, and then different kinds of things grew on different tiles because it felt good for it to do that.
Yep.
Right.
At different rates.
And as you move out from the center, that can change a bit. And so we just made it look the way we wanted to. So that it would feel good to be out exploring the world.
Yeah. So what happens then when you're booting up the game and you're looking at that little loading screen, a lot of what it's doing there is it's basically simulating the world in terms of how common items are.
Mm-hmm.
And every resource in the world gets assigned something that's called a frequency index, which is just how frequently does this thing occur? And then that gets extrapolated. I think
it's like all relative to sawgrass or something, right?
It's just an arbitrary number, basically. But what it basically comes down to is every component in the game gets assigned what we called an effort index, which mm-hmm. is how much effort does it take to get this? Or another way to think about
which is actually just 1 over the frequency.
Of yeah. Because the more common it is, the less effort it takes to get it, right? Yeah. And so we just kind of generate an effort index for every single thing. And then we say like, okay, a helm, it's like a tier 1 helm from the sawmill takes 1 effort. What is 1 effort? Doesn't really matter.
Yep.
It's just an arbitrary number. And it only matters in context to everything else, right? So we say it takes 1 effort and it uses like 2 different components. So we split the effort between the two. So we say half the effort goes to logs and half mm-hmm. the effort goes to sticks or something. And then we just keep filling up the logs and the sticks until the effort for the helm
adds up. Yep.
So this is all automated, and this is how we were able to get 500 whatever recipes in there. And it also makes it so that when we make balance changes to the world, if we go, you know, there's just too many log trees. If we knock down the number of log trees, then the required number of logs for everything that uses them will go down. Yep. And then the components for everything else will go up a little bit because now there's room for right. other things. So it's actually an auto balancing system that we don't have to make decisions about whatsoever.
Yeah, the only decision we make is just how hard should it be to craft a certain thing just in the general sense. And so we choose the effort.
Yeah.
But the effort just like 1 just means like we decide what that means, right? We just say 1 is kind of like average effort.
And yeah.
We
can
just
so say, one effort is like, oh, it's like 2 minutes
yep.
of like gathering resources or something like that. So yeah. And we just set effort by type. So pants take a certain amount of effort. Weapons take a certain amount.
Legendaries blah, blah, blah. Take more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Yeah. All right. Next question comes from Crashy. Hey, peeps of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I would like to know how you handle your armor and inventory. Thanks for reading.
Handle in what way?
So we get this kind of question a lot, and there's a big secret when it comes to inventory. Are you ready for this shit?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? It's just a list.
Yep.
It's just a list of things that you have. That's it. So with our infinite inventory technology for Crashlands.
It's just a list.
It's just a list.
Yep.
That's the whole thing. And what makes it infinite is that instead of showing you the whole inventory all at once, which would be overwhelming if you had, say, 5,000 things in there, we just don't do that.
We just have filters.
We have filters. So if you want to see, like, what pants do I have? Then when you go into your equipment screen and you click on the pants button.
You just do a loop across the inventory, find everything that's pants.
Yep. We just find everything that's pants, show you, and we make a little sub list. Be like, here's the pants that you have. And that's it.
Yep.
So there's nothing particularly complicated about it. Just the hard part is developing a good user experience for interacting with this giant ass list of things.
Yep.
And then your equipment, your armor, whatever, that's also a list. Just a list of pieces of armor. Mm-hmm. So, yep. And then we just say, like, for example, slot 0 in that list, otherwise known as the first slot, is like, that's your weapon. And slot 1 is your helm and blah, blah, blah. So we sort of assign types to those slots so that you can't put a weapon in the wrong place. Although the game can handle that. And as Shur is working on the equipment stuff, just this morning, he accidentally shuffled all the equipment into the wrong slots. And then Flux was running around wearing pickaxes as gloves. and fishing poles as pants and a wrench as a mask, which is pretty fucking awesome.
Yep.
But it doesn't really.
Yeah, we call this.
It's not very flexible.
Yeah, we call this graceful failure.
Yeah. If you did somehow manage to equip a pickaxe as pants, the game can do this.
Yeah.
It doesn't look great.
But it doesn't. And actually, that's been our strategy for, that's on the web programming side as well as the game programming side, is you know, a lot of programming involves a lot of, you know, error catching and like handling exceptions. Exceptions just basically being anything that wasn't supposed to happen that happened. What we try to do instead as our dominant strategy is to make it so that if something goes wrong, somehow that's still okay. And so that might mean that you're not seeing the thing you're supposed to be seeing, right?
Yep.
Or that you did something that's outside of what is technically allowed. But if the game doesn't crash as a consequence, and then, you know, if your save data doesn't get corrupted as a consequence, if instead just like things are wacky, that's probably okay.
That's probably fine.
Yeah.
We can find a way to resolve that.
Yeah.
As long as it's not corrupted and destroyed.
Right. Which also has happened.
It also has happened, but less frequently. We also have a phase in the save loading called the Bork fixing phase.
Yep.
Where we know that there are some bugs that occur that we can't figure out why.
So we just look for them.
So we just look for those. That's not when things are broken, because that means it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Sometimes things get borked, which is, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with it, but it's actually not technically broken.
What are the things the Bork fixer fixes? I can't even remember.
The Bork fixer fixes things like sometimes people's pets disappear.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
There's no explanation why this happens. We've never been able to find out why. Nobody's been able to replicate it. But just all of a sudden, somebody would be like, hey, where's my pet?
Yep.
And it's just gone.
It's just gone now.
But the data for that pet still lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the pet itself has left. So
it's just gone.
So what we do for that is when we do the Bork fixer, we just grab the background data for that pet and we just make a new stable. And we put the pet in that stable and we put the stable into your build mode inventory.
Yep.
So if your pet disappears, you just reload. So this happens to like 1 out of 1,000 Crashlands players.
Yep.
Pet disappears, you load your game, and then
now it's in your inventory.
Your pet is just hanging out in your inventory, and you just put that stable down, and there's your pet.
But part of that worked because we made it so you could just put anything in your inventory.
Yes.
So that way the inventory is sort of like the default Bork fixer, because we're just like, you're supposed to have this weapon, but for some reason you don't. Just now you do.
Which is actually a fun thing that we're doing with Scuffle Buddies as well, without doing any spoilers. But the inventory system is so flexible that anything that you come across in the world, we could just put into your inventory.
Yeah.
So
it could just be in there.
Yeah. So you come across a tree and you're like, fuck, this tree's in my way. We could technically give you a mechanism to just take it.
Yep.
To just have it, put it in your inventory. Right.
We may not actually do
it. We probably won't do that.
But the game is capable of it.
The game's capable of it, which is hilarious. All right. Next question comes from I am Cade. What games are you guys currently playing? Is there any way that we, as a community, can game with you?
We actually played games with people a while ago. I don't remember which games or when, but I know that we had
done this. I don't remember either of those as well. I think we played.
That was back when our community was small enough, because there were only maybe like a dozen people who gave a shit, that we could just be like, so you guys want to play a game?
Yeah. So there, I have at times daydreamed about the prospect of, for example, like having a B-Scotch community WoW guild.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Cause like our community is fucking awesome. Like they're just super pumped all the time. They're very friendly people, you know, and that's something that we enforce as well. So if somebody comes in who isn't like that, then either us or our moderators will of course crush them into a fine mist.
Yep. Or paste,
or some kind
something
of
something gross,
some kind of disgusting human
to match the kind of person that they were.
Yeah, know? It's sort of realigning the universe.
Right.
So, I've thought about doing that kind of stuff, but the difficulty is, you know, our players are all over the place.
Uh-huh.
So if you're like, if you're 12 time zones away from somebody, it gets pretty hard to coordinate gaming.
Anything.
Yeah. And the other problem is, you know, if we wanted to do something like play Rocket League or whatever, you know, there's not a lot of room.
No, that's actually the bigger problem.
Yeah.
Because there aren't that many games that a lot of people can play and be involved at the same time. That's also a social experience.
Yeah. So we would be limited to basically MMOs.
Yep.
So that we could get everybody in there.
Or having to somehow pick people.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
And so the difficulty with MMOs is, they tend to, people either love them or hate them.
Yeah, I'm not into them personally.
Yeah. And then on top of that, there's a pretty wide range of possibilities. So, like if we had a WoW guild, there's the problem of, well, you'd be on a US server or whatever. What about our people in Australia? Yep. Or, you know, they'd have to be at like a 500 ping, which sucks. We could also try like, we could, if we made an Eve group, but then how many of our players actually are into the idea of playing Eve? Probably just me. So
yeah, approximately.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that like that's one of the few games where everybody actually could technically just play together because it's just, you could just have as many people in one place as you want, right? Right. So I don't know. Maybe we should just make a game that our players can play together. Maybe that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is funny how complicated this stuff gets, because we even had this conversation back during this scatter jam of like, when should the thing start? Because our community is around the world, right? And it was a big argument that we had that we never really fully agreed on, of just like, should it start at the same time for everybody? Like the same time their time, or the same just time, you know? And back sort of pre-Crashlands launch, we were having these like dev chats,
yeah,
every few months, right? Where we would get on Google Plus or just whatever the tech was at the time and just chat with people if they had questions, right? And we'd maybe get a couple dozen or so people in there each time. But again, it was the same kind of a problem, which is like when we do this determines whether people can attend and who can attend.
Yeah. So a lot of people just had to miss it.
So a lot of people just have to miss it because they're somewhere else. And especially for us, because our community is actually pretty, especially our engaged community is not predominantly in the US.
Yes.
They're actually quite scattered, which isn't true of our sort of general player base. It is still the case that most of them are in the US. But for our fans who are around and talk to us, for whatever reason, they're scattered everywhere. So now if we want to engage with them, all of a sudden we just split them up, which sucks.
Yep. Yeah. So I think the only solution there would be to actually have a persistent community, like in an MMO,
yep,
where our players in the community can just play with each other as well, and you don't have to coordinate matches.
Right. We like had to be some sort of like a town-centered thing, so that everybody kind of like has a house they live in or something.
Right.
With like a meeting place in the middle, so that whoever's around can just go meet, and then they can go do something.
Yeah.
Just whoever's there.
Yeah.
There's probably a game like that, but is it a good one?
I mean, the only games I can think of that this would work with would be something like WoW, or Eve, but nobody would play Eve. So
yeah, Eve maybe, but no, I think WoW actually, that's not true, because and one of the main reasons I never got into WoW and games like it is because it's a treadmill, and depending on when you enter, you're just actually not even depending on if you enter. You're just in a different place than other people, and you have different skills available to you. You've got different knowledge level of the game. You actually just can't really participate in the same content the same way unless someone's like dragging you through to level up really fast, or you're dragging somebody else to level up really fast. It doesn't,
right, but
it doesn't make it easy for people to play together unless they're always playing together.
Well, that's why what you would do is you would announce some kind of a start date. Right. And you'd say, we're all making new characters,
yep,
on this one place, right, at the same
and
time. Just,
and then whoever is free that time can participate.
Well, no, because it's an ongoing thing now. Right. So everybody will make their characters like starting after a certain point. So instead of somebody with like their 12-year-old character that they've been playing since, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, everybody's starting in the same place. And then
but again, that's assuming that everyone is synchronized and starts at the same time, because that's the problem here is that.
Well, it's going to be,
has to be synchronous.
It's going to vary by play time, by how much people can play, by when they can play, you know.
I think to me, that's the bigger thing is that a kind of having a community who can all kind of play a game together means that either they all have to have the same commitment.
Or level of skill, or whatever, so that
actually works. Or the game has to be designed such that that doesn't matter as much.
Maybe we just have to accept that we're all just playing the game of life together.
Yeah.
You know, it's the ultimate MMO.
It is.
Experience. Maybe that's what's happening.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah. All right. So we got one final question for the year.
For the whole dang year.
This question comes from Ryan7773, who says, how does one get the coffee achievement?
Like this.
Like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice work.
Once you get a question answered on the podcast, then you get that achievement.
Congratulations.
So you did it, at least for now. Who knows when Ruckus hits,
yeah,
all bets are off.
Yep, just anybody who's super pumped about the perks they have right now, just know.
Don't get too attached. Don't get too attached.
We're gonna keep something like the perk system because we love the cross game unlock and we really like that as a system. So we're definitely not doing away with it. But I don't know what it's gonna look like.
Yeah, we want to try to find a way to preserve what people have in some capacity. But yeah, we don't know.
But we have to do it in a way that doesn't then just get weird because now there's a bunch of like legacy stuff that nobody wants. Like take all the butter up a friend perks. And there aren't that many. Almost nobody's even gotten them. Yeah, right?
But you can't get them now.
You can't even get them now if you're on iOS.
Yeah. Did we leave that on Google
I think
Play?
It's still on Google Play. Okay. Although I'm actually not even sure. I don't ever look at
it. I think we might have turned them off. Again, all this shit, we got to rip it out. We got to start fresh.
Legacy.
B-Scotch Arcade.
Next year, it's all about starting fresh. Yeah, sort of. Actually, no, it's really not about that at all. Really, next year is all about standing on our own shoulders.
2018 is about simplifying.
Yeah.
It's about getting back to our roots.
Yep.
You know, we're going to do it. All right. That's all the time we have for this year. So
yeah, the whole year.
So be sure to tune in next year and we'll talk. Well, hopefully next year when we come back, we'll talk more about sort of what our plans are with the Crashlands patch and then what our plans are with the new game as well. Yeah. So tune in for that. We'd like to thank our studio wrangler, Monique, and our producer, Fat Bard, for putting this episode together, and the B-Scotch dev team for having our backs while we record this podcast. Special thanks to our community moderators who keep our Discord and forums running and who, of course, crush all dissent. If you would like to get more involved in the Butterscotch community, you can hop into our Discord server, which is over at discord.gg/bscotch.
Mm-hmm. Don't do anything that would cause yourself to be grounded to a fine paste.
Yeah, just be a good human. And if you're not sure what that means, just use social cues and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
All right, and also, if you'd like to adorn your body with Butterscotch merch, check out our shop, which is over at shop.bscotch.net. And again, we are still taking orders over the holidays, but we will not be filling those orders until we get back after the new year. So just keep that in mind. Also, if you'd like to adorn us with your merch, we have a mailbox. So if you'd like to send us something, head on over to mailbox.bscotch.net to get the address. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next year.
Goodbye.
Bye.